species as a region of local similarity. And, you know, we can now plot different species in one diagram because we have modeled the background model, because we have the background model for each species. So we are at least allowed now to put these profiles into, they should be scaled rightly, and you can plot them all together in the same graph. So let me point out what happens here. For example, species B has the same signal here, but has no signal here. And that, you know, that's already for a biologist, presumably he can draw many conclusions from that. For example, he knows maybe that this is, let's say, I don't know, the LAC-R repressor, and then he knows that species B simply doesn't use the LAC-R repressor. He knows something about that. We take species C, and it seems to go, it seems to correlate with species A. So now we have to think about how to combine the information from the various bugs in some meaningful way. So, back to the question of David. It is written here. So, see, this parameter R, you can think of an iterative method how to fix this parameter R in some optimized way. But that would include segment. In principle, this parameter R should be space positionally dependent. But the problem is that for E. coli, you have, you know, these upstream regions are so short, it's very hard to do this in any kind of controlled way. So what we did is, in the end, what we ended up doing is that we simply took the max RMS of the profile to fit the parameter in R. So we want sort of the max delineation possible with this parameter. But this is, pardon me? Root mean square, which is the RM, I mean, sigma. So, yeah, we want, you know, that's, if you look at these profiles, what you want is, you want to see the signal as delineated as possible. But, you know, we can, that's really a point of discussion, yes?
But that significance you gave was for some non-optimized scoring function. When you optimize all the scoring function,
I don't understand your question.
If I just randomly write down some R, and
yes,
research, then the significance will be given by something.
Yeah, it's automatically.
Right, but now if you search over the scoring function.
No, but it's the same thing.
A random sequence, The
profile gives always the significance of whatever you use against the background model. Whatever R you use, this function gives you the significance of getting.
But you choose a special R.
In the end of the day, of course, yes. I mean, I have to.
But that's the difference we'll need to be discounted.
Yeah, but that's what I meant. I mean, that's.
So maximum RMS means you take the RMS over all the.
Yes, I mean, I think I now understand your question. I take the same R for the whole profile. I'm not using a segmentation model here, which one should ideally use, but which we couldn't. We didn't work. But we choose the R by maxing over the RMS over the profile, scanning all the possible R values.
What's
right?
The problem with maximizing at each point in the different R?
Well, you know, you could try that. The problem is that you have that E. coli is so dense, you have a lot of signal in relatively short interval. Seem to us
the
situation.
Data at some point?
Yeah, I'm going to show you actual data at some point. Where am I? So this is, for example, real data. I should really going. So I talked now 45 minutes. I'll take 5 more minutes. Okay, so then you're at 50 minutes. Okay. All right. So here we have this profile. Here is the gene. The gene is called LPDA. This is the upstream region. And so here you see the profiles for the various different bugs. The bugs are KPN, STM, VCH, and YPE. And so let's follow, for example, the VCH. That's pretty easy. So VCH is below any significance here, and then it gives has a tiny bump here. Then look. Let's look at, for example, STM, which is a very close, which is the closest of all the bugs. And so this is the STM guy. And you see that there's some that the KPN, which is actually further away in the tree, has a stronger signal here. So. Well, you know, okay. I don't understand the question.
Do the same thing in the downstream region for these different organisms. What does it look like?
This is the regulatory region.
Yes. Yes.
So if you give it, it's of course significant. There's functional, functional significance in all of the organisms. So your algorithm should detect it very strongly.
I really don't. I mean, for each organism, I have an ortholog of the gene.
Yeah. I'm just wondering what this, how similar
the gene, how big would these numbers be?
Well, they would be absolutely grotesquely big because.
They would jump for all of them.
They would jump for all of them. They would jump. Right. Yeah. Yes, it would go up like immensely. The genes in this study are all very tight. They're all very close together. But already the upstream regions, you know, they evolve much faster.
But think about that it would go so much higher. What people in the protein field call autologs with a very strong fidelity could be something like 70% identity. For short words at the DNA level, wouldn't be much better than this.
Okay, that is true, but it's not right to look at. I mean, it's.
This was just a question of aesthetics. It would be nice to see how this exact algorithm procedure follows in.
Right.
As you enter in what it looks like.
Well, one could do. It's okay on the DNA level. It's actually interesting to do. Although I think what you would see is the usual third position would be weak. It's certainly something one can look at. But I think, you know, my feeling by looking at many of these orthologs genes is that the gene scores, even on the DNA level, if you look, forget about the third codon, are much better conserved.
Okay. You said that the green curve was rather larger than some of the others, even though it was further.
That's right.
Phylogenetically,
yes.
From E. coli.
That's
wow.
Right. Well, you tell me. I don't know.
Why?
Well, because it has a very good match here. You know, is it just this region is very well conserved. Well, okay. So, you know, you would think that the real binding site. Well, you know, of course one can talk about horizontal transfer, but I think there's a lot of information here, and one can discuss that really. Let me just point out one problem. You can easily make the interpretation that you have, you know, some functional site here, but for some reason it seems to be also important, the neighborhood is in some sense also functional. So that, you know, that is one interpretation to make. But you never know really what's going on, because the factor, you know, whatever is binding here, I don't know, so there's one documented sigma site here, and there's one document another binding site here. So It could be that, for example, here for YPE, that it has drifted away in terms of the recognition side. And that that maybe STM for this has also drifted away, but that KPN for some reason has stayed closer. I don't know. I think only a biologist can really make sense of these profiles in terms of detailed interpretation.
The algorithm has adjusted the distance upstream from the start. I mean, these are all actually they're all superimposed. The maximum, that's part of the algorithm. You align them.
So let me talk about how to combine the information. And one way of if you believe that the species are completely uncorrelated, you would just add them up. Okay. So you would add up the probabilities. So that would be the red curve. So that's just a sum. If you believe that the species are very correlated, what you would do is you would take the envelope of all the curves. So it would be here following the KPN, and then here following this path. So there are all these options. Yes?
How do you get rid of the G content? If you just look at upstream regions, right, there's an AT oscillation at around 154 to start over. So I'm wondering if this is the signal.
Well, I don't know.
If you look over a bunch of at the upstream region,
yes.
Upstream region over a bunch of forests,
yes.
Yes. You can see if there's a strong AT oscillation that occurs.
That's true. I mean, what I can tell you is that these regions, not in this case, but these regions tend to be better conserved than the regions further upstream.
A lot of them are close to zero.
That's right. But let me just put on the last slide because I'm really running out of time. In terms of the results, I think the main result are really these profiles, one graph for each regulated E. coli gene. So this is it will be accumulated in a website where I can look at this. In terms of a test, what one can do is one can take the max score of each graph, and one can see how well. So, do you hit an experimentally known site at this position or not? Okay. So, what we took is for each. So, we took all the genes for which we have experimentally known sites. We took all the graphs which we computed for those. We took for each graph the max score and took a window of 24 bases around that as our prediction window. So it's a very simple procedure. And what you find is that in 80% of the cases you hit something which is experimentally known. And now you want some kind of significance for that. So you throw a random dart and you compute the probability of hitting something at random. And you see that it's roughly a quarter by chance. So that clearly correlates. I think one could discuss how to evaluate these results and go on further for a long time, but I shouldn't do that. I just want to mention that one can use this to improve weight matrix prediction. So if you're looking for a specific pattern, for example, you can now say that you correlate that with these conservation, with these profiles. Profiles give a weight to each base pair. And to come back to one point of the 30% of the genes which have no known function, if you do this analysis and you look at the upstream regions, at the graphs, you see that in some cases you have a huge signal in there. So some of these orphans seem to have a very tightly conserved upstream region. So I think there's something. There might be something to discover. I think these are covered. Then we can think about clustering the predictions, trying to find similar sequence pieces, piece them together and cluster those. And finally, one can think of how to apply a method like this to eukaryotes. But I'm going to skip this. Just want to mention one of the collaborators. Nick Sochi is here in the audience, and he will be here for some time. So if any further questions come up, he's the person to talk to. And I also want to thank the other collaborators, Martin Sobotowski and Eric Sitia from Rockefeller. Thank you.